Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 23rd of December, 2024. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here today with the news, including comments from Don Lamb as he and his team get set to continue at the Indiana State Department of Agriculture next year. And we have an important farmer update on the Corporate Transparency Act. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here to take a look at Indiana's Christmas week forecast. And corn and soybean markets on Friday worked higher. We'll have analysis from Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Don Lamb sticking around at ISDA, and you can hold off on the Corporate Transparency Act for now. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Don Lamb will continue in his role as director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture in the new Mike Braun administration. Lamb will work with Lieutenant Governor-elect Micah Beckwith, who will serve as the state's new Secretary of Agriculture. Lamb tells Hoosier Ag Today that he's honored and grateful for the opportunity to serve, but it's not just him.
I'm super proud of our team, and when I think about being asked to serve again in this role, I really look at that as ISDA was asked to continue to serve. It's a team thing. You know, I may get to be more like the quarterback, but it's a team effort, and I've got so many good people around me at ISDA that we're really hitting on all cylinders, and we enjoy working together.
Lamb succeeded Bruce Kettler as ISDA director in March of 2023, knowing that he might have just over a year and a half in the position, depending on how things worked out with the election. He says they'll continue to drive home the importance of economic development for agriculture.
If agriculture is not profitable, we really can't do many of the other things that are so good for agriculture and our communities. So lots of effort into international trade. And part of that's because 20% of our farm income comes from exports. And so that's such an important part of what we do that we have to keep an eye on that. So we're going to continue to be aggressive on international trade.
Lamb has already traveled to Japan, Cuba, and Mexico in his short tenure as ISDA director to promote Indiana products. On the other side of the coin is promoting products at home with the rapid growth of the Indiana Grown program housed inside ISDA.
And you think about the products that we produce right here locally in a county and then maybe sell it in that same county. And how do we get those products into schools? How do we get those products into hospitals and institutions? And the whole idea of local food is not a fad, and it's just a market that really needs to be developed.
You can hear my full interview with Lamb about his vision for ISDA and the working relationship with the Braun-Beckwith administration at HoosierAgToday.com. If you're a farmer or small business owner, you're off the hook regarding the Corporate Transparency Act for now. CJ Miller has more.
The rollout of this has been a flop on behalf of the Treasury Department.
And that's Ken Backus, Executive Director of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. A few weeks ago, a federal court in Texas said the Corporate Transparency Act was likely unconstitutional, so it issued a preliminary injunction barring the government from enforcing it. It requires farmers and small businesses to file what's called a Benefit Ownership Information Report, which means you would be required to give confidential information to the U.S. Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN for short.
If the court determines that preliminary injunction should be lifted, then FinCEN could go ahead and start enforcing this right away. So it's important that people continue to pay close attention to this.
Backus offers this advice for farmers and small business owners.
For your personal operation, this is the time to really talk to your advisors, to your tax preparers, to your attorneys, and find out that if this moves forward, is this something that you will need to comply with.
If the law does go into effect, it would impact more than 32 million small businesses and the failure to comply would be a fine of $10,000 or possible jail time.
But ultimately, it is going to take an act of Congress to go back and amend this to make it right and to not create a criminal class out of so many small businesses.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through the 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualified attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save an additional 30%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a week setup here that is kind of interesting when you get right down to it. We have plenty of opportunity for moisture this week, but we've also got temperatures that aren't too shabby, and so I don't think we're looking at any major travel problems. Remember, there's a big deal happening this week at midweek. I guess it's something called Christmas. So let's kind of talk through how everything is going to work together. We're starting off the week with more clouds. We saw the clouds increase yesterday, and this is because we do have another wave of moisture that wants to try and rotate through here later this afternoon, evening, and overnight. Moisture is not really all that impressive, but I think we can see some rain and maybe some wet snowflakes. Best chances of wet snowflakes up in Michigan, but rain, wet snow can happen here. About 60 to 70% coverage across the Hoosier State, but I think we're only looking at a total of a few hundreds to a few tenths of liquid equivalent if we get anything at all. By the time we get to sunrise tomorrow morning, I think we're done with moisture. Now, whether or not we get completely rid of clouds, that's still up for some debate. We've got milder air here, so I think clouds are a possibility with some sunshine interspersed in. And as we move through Christmas Eve night, clouds come back over southern parts of Indiana. That means Christmas Day, we can see some scattered rain showers from I-70 south. I don't think there's anything north of I-70. And then we're looking at some coolish temperatures in here, not cold by any stretch. Nothing like what we saw the coldest days this past week and weekend, and nothing like the week prior either. I do then think we settle in for a dry Thursday with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And then Friday, we've got another wave of moisture coming up from the southwest, coming out of Oklahoma, Arkansas, the Missouri Valley, tracking mostly across central and southern Indiana night through Saturday. I'm going to say rain again here, anywhere from a tenth to three quarters of an inch from I-70 southward. I won't rule out some spits and sprinkles north, but I think we get away with nothing there. The rest of Saturday features clouds and spits and sprinkles here and there before another round of moisture comes through with a cold front passage overnight, Saturday night through Sunday. That's where we can see another tenth to three quarters of an inch with coverage around 80% of the state. We start to get rid of the clouds late Sunday afternoon. Monday the 30th turns out partly sunny and dry. Rain is back Tuesday the 31st, New Year's Eve. Rain to start and cold air is coming in behind it. So I think we can see rain and some wet snowflakes overnight Tuesday night. New Year's Day on Wednesday the 1st is dry but cold. Definitely a lot colder than what we're seeing in the week of Christmas, and that chill stays through the rest of the week, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. I don't think we see a lot of moisture, but we do see an incredible surge of Arctic air coming back. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Mostly higher Friday markets, then a late turnaround to steady or flat for wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review.
And I'll have all the numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis. I spoke with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading in the middle of the session to find out what he saw during the course of the week. The market's higher as we head into the weekend. Pretty green on the board, Brian. Up in corn, up in beans. Late to the party, the wheat market did finally turn higher. But beans, the last couple of days, leading the way after a slow downfall there, so a nice recovery.
Well, thanks for having me, Andy. It's always good visiting with you. And we did see a recovery in beans. It really was a catastrophic decline there on Wednesday. New contract lows in beans and soybean meal, too. We saw a multi-year low, as a matter of fact, in nearby soybean meal. So we may be seeing some short covering here going into the weekend. It does look like it's going to be a rainy pattern in Brazil. Remember, I'd remind your listeners that we are in pod set and pod fill stage, and actually just very, very early harvest in far northern Brazil, but it's so small, it's not hardly worth mentioning. But it is pod set and pod fill, and rain is at a good time, but the market built that in, apparently, and it is a little bit of a unsettled pattern for Argentina. By that, I mean it's not quite as ideal that further south. A little bit warmer, a little bit drier. Their beans are not in that pod set and pod fill stage yet, but it's something to be monitoring as we move into January. That'll be a critical month for those early beans, double crop beans, more so in February and March, but maybe just enough uncertainty there to give us some short covering on beans. Decent export sales report there yesterday, but I think, the beans have recovered a bit here. Corn continues to be stout, nice recovery this week. Continue to see good export business, another flash sale this morning here on Friday to Colombia for some U.S. corn. And so steady as she goes as far as the export market continues to look strong. We are seeing some fund buying. Funds have moved to a longer position on corn, Andy, compared to recent months where they had been very aggressively short for quite some time. Now, I don't want to play that up too much, but it's just something to be aware of. We'll get an update again here this afternoon. But I'd remind your listeners from a strategy standpoint, Andy, that as we get into the 25 calendar year here, there's going to be a lot of surprises in 25. Just keep your marketing flexible as possible. You want to be engaged in the markets. You want to leave the upside open, but also defend your balance sheet by keeping a floor underneath these prices.
So you're not really predicting anything different in the coming year when you say a lot of surprises. It seems like that's the rule of thumb these days.
You know, in all seriousness, Andy, I just wrote a wire this morning that I write every year about this time, and it was easy to pick out a major surprise each year. And this year for 2024, it was the fact that China had a much larger crop a year ago in 23 than what we thought. That was revealed in the January WASDE report. And therefore, their needs fell off a cliff. China had been a major importer of U.S. corn to the tune of over a half billion bushels on average the previous three marketing years. But when that crop size came out in January this year, Andy, much bigger than expected, not only did China reduce its export sales, purchases, I should say, from the U.S., but Brazil filled the void because Brazil had a very stout crop in the summer of 23, which they continue to export all the way into early 24 here. So we all know what the corn market did earlier this year, just grind sideways to lower for weeks and months on end. And that was one of the reasons, but that was a big surprise. So 25, yeah, we don't know what the market's going to tell us, but there'll be some surprises. There'll be some surprises in supply and demand, and we just want to be prepared. Avoid painting yourself into a corner, as it will marketing-wise, and just give yourself some flexibility. Last year was a good lesson that we always want to protect the downside. Who knows what the lessons will be here in 25, but we do want to defend our balance sheet at all times using the tools we have available to us.
That is economist Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. The final ones from trade on Friday. Up a nickel and a half for the March and May corn contracts. March 446 and a quarter, May 451 and three quarters. July up a nickel and a quarter, 554 and a half. January beans 11 and a half higher, 974 and a half. March 979 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters. May up 13 cents, 988. March wheat fell back to unchanged at 533. May 542 and three quarters, down three quarters. February live cattle 188.40, up $1.85. February lean hogs ending at $85.92, up $2.30. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.